This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and SiriusXM Channel 371.
Let me tell you something. I got the dentist in approximately 3 hours. Wait a minute. 3 hours and 58 minutes. And if you don't think there's an ice cube waiting on me, you're crazy. Me and the dentist get along like me and the ocean.
Oh, that's bad.
That's not good.
And
that's not good. But
I'll tell you how bad it is. Yesterday on the radio.
You started thinking about the dentist?
No, I've been thinking about it for 2 weeks.
I know you have.
They told me I got to come back in 2 weeks.
Yeah. Right.
But one of the things I always say on radio is, hey, you know the drill. Come on back. And I said it yesterday. Drill. I had that cold, clammy feeling already.
So you're a little anxious.
No.
You're a little anxious.
I do not like it at all.
Well, a man of your ilk to go to the dentist and have a cavity.
It's the first cavity I've had this century. It is. It's my first cavity of the 21st century.
So you're going to have a cavity.
I even told the dentist 2 weeks ago when they found it. I said, I thought when you get my age, you don't get cavities. He looked at me and said, no, Mark, it does not work that way.
He admonished you.
Well, they don't because they know that I will turn on them in a second and will not come back. Oh, no, man, don't do that. Hey, Lumberjacks, you remember... We're coming up to your neck of the woods in a couple of weeks, and assuming that I'm here tomorrow morning.
For our spring break trip.
Yeah, so, I mean, get cute with me with a drill. Believe me, I will remember. Listen. How about tomorrow morning I come in here at 7:05 West Durham style, dressed like a chipmunk and have one side of my mouth up like this.
West Durham style be 4.
7:04.
Yeah.
Oh.
So,
open wide, Mr. Packer.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just tell the good folks at SiriusXM that Josh and I are available this afternoon if you need a host.
Oh, I thought you were going to book some guests. So
no,
you guys
no,
want
no.
a host?
No, we just want a host.
Right, Fuller.
Oh.
I'm with you, Fuller. I don't have to put up with this in my own house.
Oh, my God. That is so funny.
Oh, it's going to be funny at 11:00.
So you don't want to go to breakfast after the show's
over? No. You know, I'd like to. Maybe I call the dentist. Hey, man, can't make it. Then the problem is I come home and the real boss in the house goes, how is the dentist?
Yeah. Then what happens?
Then I'm in a lot of trouble. I'd rather have the drill than Mrs. P on me. It's going to be a bad day, boys. I'm just telling you. But we'll get through the next 3 hours.
It's good to know that Mark is not bothered at all. One inch about this trip to the dentist. Hadn't bothered you at all, has it?
I told you. I went 2 weeks ago. I was worried about it 2 weeks ago, and then they didn't do anything other than do the x-rays and go, oh, the tooth that you think you're worried about, that one's fine. It's the other one. I'm like, what are you talking about, the other one?
Yeah.
What's wrong with
well,
the
that's
other
the one?
One
causing the problem.
It's causing no problem.
It's causing them a problem and you a problem.
Yeah, well, let's get on.
We look forward to a full report tomorrow.
I thought talking like this, you'll think, what's wrong with Pack? Yeah.
All right.
Shut up, Novocaine. One ice cube is waiting for me today.
You know how my partner here likes my handy-dandy little card?
And I just like your colorful
Well,
artwork.
You like the fact that it's colorful, right?
Really
it's got all the stuff on there. And
I just see
all the markings and trappings that happen after.
I just like that you've spent like $400 at Staples so you can do this card in color.
That is legit now. I'm going to bring the box of markers.
No,
we
don't have room.
Oh, come on, it'd be fun. Okay, so really what happens is you have 3 nights of ACC basketball, and this is what happens right here. Here's what happens. Essentially,
how about those games last night?
Well, and that's what I was getting to is congratulations to Josh Macri because the Orange were the only ones that decided it early. Everybody else decided they were going to go the wire. I mean, from the last tenth of a second at Chestnut Hill to close the show to Kihei Clark becoming the perimeter threat in Blacksburg last night after a great comeback by Mike Young's team.
Was there any team in the history of college basketball? How about this statement? I'm going to blow you on to hear this. Anybody in the history of college basketball in the last 1 second of play in the first half and the second half better than Notre Dame last night?
No.
No is the correct.
No.
I mean, what they pulled off at the end of the first half.
Correct.
The steal at midcourt heave good on a bank. And then what they did to win the game with 1/10 of a second last night was crazy.
Yep.
Not to mention the first game which was Virginia and Virginia Tech. And I texted you guys going, pretty solid effort by the Hokies in the first half in the 11 spot. Yeah. And then they've got the lead late.
Mm-hmm.
That was a fun game to watch.
It just shows you, I think, one of the things we touched on yesterday and one of the things we're going to keep coming back to here between now and Greensboro is the unknown. What could happen on Tuesday and Wednesday at the Coliseum? Who knows?
Fair game.
Because from 5 to 15, it is completely up for grabs. Anything can potentially happen because enough of that group has beaten the three at the top or the four at the top, if you will, including Virginia. And then you look at these others, 11, and you're going, well, I don't know who to make heads or tails of. And it's going to be really interesting to see what transpires. I will say the one thing last night is Notre Dame helped themselves immeasurably.
Well, they had to win.
Well, true. Had to win. They stay in that group tied at 5.
They've got to run the table, Wes, to play themselves onto the bubble. Because right now, nobody's even talking
about them.
Yeah,
if they run out, win at Wake Forest, beat Florida State, beat Virginia Tech, they're going to have a chance in Greensboro.
Florida State is the key deal.
Right.
They have to win that game.
Yeah. But the shot last night by TJ Gibbs, and after the game, he and John Mooney visited with Chris Spatola here on ACC Network, and it was, I mean, look at that. I mean, he just kind of finds himself on the handoff. Prentice Hubb got it to him. I thought Hubb was going to shoot it personally.
Well, he kind of got no man's land, and, mm-hmm. and I think Mike Bray pointed it out after the game, and he was spot on. The poise in which that possession was fantastic because you could have just panicked and said, man, I got to get it up.
Yeah.
And then, of course, he flips it off for the tap in, boom. But the end of the first half was the killer.
Oh,
I thought. I mean, that was ridiculous. One of those. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Mooney does his thing again. No surprise there.
By the way, just get a look at first team all ACC right there, kids.
22-12 from Mooney last night.
I mean, this better not even be a thing in a couple weeks. This ought to be rock solid. This guy right here does it night in, night out. He is absolutely one of the best five players in the league,
mm-hmm.
and it's not close.
It's every night, like you said.
Oh, it's every flipping night he's doing it.
Yeah, you never worry about his numbers. The question's going to be, will Notre Dame make shots? And when they do, they're good.
And by the way, you feel for Jim Christian, Boston College.
Oh.
They beat Notre Dame by one earlier in the year, come back now, lose by one. But BC and Carolina and these schools that are kind of toward 10 and lower, how many times have they been in a one-possession? I'd like to know the number of one-possession games we've had this year in the ACC.
But BC was up 10 in this game. Now, granted, in this day and age, no lead seems to be safe anymore. But I just thought the way the end of the first half, I mean, mm-hmm. you know, they go on a run to go up double digits, can't get the ball in, kind of toss one to midcourt, and Pfluger gets it, turns, heaves, bank, good, and they walk right off, and it's a seven-point game. And then you saw how the game ended last night. So it's certainly a tough loss for BC. And unfortunately for the Eagles, that's now 9 consecutive losing ACC seasons.
Right. Yep. And so BC finds themselves in a group. They're alone in 10th at 7-11. Two teams at 11th, Virginia Tech, who lost last night. I mean, that's the kind of thing, too. You're seeing some movement in this stuff in just the week's time. You mentioned a month ago, you win 2, you make big moves.
Yeah.
Well, you lose 2, you also make big moves, even late in the year. But you see where we are this morning.
Tell you what else is interesting. We talk about the glob, which starts at Syracuse right there on the standings, and mm-hmm. Notre Dame at 9-8. But that group in front, top four, that's 12-5 Virginia getting ready to host 13-4 Duke Saturday.
By the way, that Cavaliers can about lock up the four. There's a win, but they'll get the four seed, but they can lock it up with a win and separate and that kind of thing. Even might be able to do that if Notre Dame and Syracuse were to both lose. And Notre Dame's on the road at Wake, Syracuse home to Carolina.
You know, though, going back to the standings real quick,
sure.
Florida State's on the road at Clemson this weekend.
Scary game.
It is a danger game. They still have to go to Notre Dame. That will be a danger game, too, for the Noles.
Right.
They're the team to catch now. What happened this week with Duke losing to Wake?
Mm-hmm.
Without a doubt, Florida State is the team everybody's chasing for that one spot. However, Wes, as crazy as life is, Florida State at Clemson Saturday,
mm-hmm.
Virginia, Duke Saturday. I'm just saying the standings could be really goofy by the time we get back here Monday. Crazy stuff happens in this league.
Let me ask you this. Does 4 win the regular season?
Remember we had that question And really,
yes, I do.
And I believe the Lumberjacks put the number at 3 or 4. And I was like, you know what? I think that's.
Was this an over under question?
Yes.
I think it was.
And I'm like, you know what? I think that's really the number. Mm-hmm. And here we are. And you look for a while like, man, there's no way nobody's going to lose 3, right? I mean, somebody's going to run the table here. Well, here we come. 2 weeks to go. And you know what? The number really is 3 or 4. That's about it.
The scary thing about this is I still go back to what we said on Tuesday morning after Florida State beat Louisville. That is that Virginia has as much to do with who's going to win the regular season as anybody else.
That's exactly right. They got Louisville left and Duke this weekend.
Yeah.
At home.
Mm-hmm.
And the Hoos are playing good basketball.
Yeah.
Even though that was a weird game, though, last night. I'm telling you, if you didn't see it, it's 26-11 at the half. And you're like, oh, for crying out loud. Like Paco and the dentist, 11. What are we doing?
By the way, that would be 50 total points for the Hokies in 3 halves against Virginia.
Well, you know.
And then they scored 42 in the second half.
Well, keep in mind now, Virginia Tech put a 17 spot on the Hoos the first time in the first half when they saw them.
Right.
11 this time. So that's 28 first half points in 2 games against Virginia.
I'm just thinking about 50 in 3 halves and then 42 in the second half last night.
It's crazy. But, when the Hokies got red hot right out of the gate in the second half, you're like, well, they got that thing to single digits now. Crowd was great. They got into it and took the lead. And you're thinking, man, this is going to be some kind of win for Virginia Tech if they can hold on.
By the way, this is no comfort to Hokie fans. None. I'm going to tell you that right now. Let me just say this, though. Guy coaching your team, done a heck of a job.
Yeah.
He done a heck of a job.
I know it's been a rough couple weeks here. But he
done a heck of a job.
Before the season started, and we told you, at least I did, and I think you were in agreement, I thought Virginia Tech was a 14th or 15th place team before the season started, given the fact what Mike Young had to inherit.
And we saw him in May. He had 6 guys on the roster.
Yeah, you were like, oh, boy, are you talking about a rebuilding process? That's what's going to take a while in Blacksburg. And they got off to the great start. And you're thinking, holy mackerel, how's this guy pulling this deal off? And again, when they make threes, they're really good. They're like a lot of teams around the country. When they shoot the ball well, they can beat people.
Yeah.
Then they had a stretch here for about a month where they just couldn't make a shot, and that's a problem. But last night was kind of the perfect snapshot of their season. You know, the first half, they couldn't make anything. And as Coach Young said afterwards, he said, we ran the same stuff, except we made shots in the second half. Mm-hmm. And they were good, really good.
Yeah.
But a really kind of a crazy, wild, entertaining game, though. But Kia Clark's shot was money now. That was something. 2 seconds left, drilled it. It's perfect.
By the way, sidebar, Clark last year, of course, against Purdue, dumped the ball to Diakite from, what, 3/4 of the floor?
Mm-hmm.
Last night, just a little crossover step back three. And look at this. Just draw it up. There you have it, kids.
It was perfect.
Game winner. My goodness. How about that?
Virginia Tech had about 3 straight possessions late, with about 2.5 minutes to go, where they just never got a shot. Turned it over and just more bad shots. And that was tough because they had the momentum. The crowd was awesome. They had Virginia on their heels. And you just got a sense, if they could just make one play and then get a stop, the Hokies were in business. But again, Virginia is playing their best basketball of the year.
Mm-hmm.
You want to peak late February and certainly March, and they are going to be a problem for somebody.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Scott Satterfield, head football coach of your Louisville Cardinals. Coming up here in about a half an hour, we look forward to touching base with Coach. We have a busy show with guests, but we have a topic. Again, 844-SAY-ACCN. You can have some fun with this. And kind of a blind draw here. We were asked to select, basically, who do you trust? We get down here into tournament time, and it's money time. It's crunch time. Who are you going to give the ball to? Do you say, you know what, my life depends on it. Who in the ACC are you comfortable with? We go deep in the tournament.
Right.
You got to score. Here's the ball. You got to score. Kind of like last night's games.
Yep.
Tag, you're it. Who is on your list, Wes Durham?
I threw 6 guys out there.
Wow.
And I took guys representing kind of across the board, okay?
6 you will trust 6
absolutely
guys.
These 6 guys right here have all hit shots
in the tournament. All
yeah. Right. We're going to go to Duke, and of all the guys who hit perimeter shots, I want the guard with the ball. I want Trey Jones going to the basket. You want Duke needs a basket? I want it in his hands. I just think he's got the moxie. He's shown the not only the game, but the skill and the mentality to do it. So even when he misses sometimes. Next guy, and this is probably going to surprise some people, but behind Trey Jones, if I've got to pick a guy from Florida State, I want MJ Walker taking
it. Wow, interesting call there.
I want MJ Walker because he's catch and shoot, and he's got a little bit of the stone cold-blooded killer in him. Go back to the Miami game at Coral Gables where they need a basket to get it to overtime. Who do they get it to? MJ Walker. Just go back. During the course of the year, when Louisville needs a basket, ends in 23's hands more often than not.
Not Louisville.
I mean, Florida State. Now, next is a guy who, this is definitely not who you think of. Certainly not last night.
Goodness gracious.
Braxton Key.
You are going deep on this list.
Yeah, Braxton Key can score at all three levels. And let me remind you, Braxton Key hit a big shot last March, too. So, he's got experience. I think this guy is a...
Now, your life depends on it.
I know.
Okay. Braxton Key. You're going to give the ball to Braxton Key.
Yes.
Okay.
Now, if it's a road game, I got a road game specialist. Mike Bray told me one time, this guy on the road, and we're going to show him at home, this guy on the road right here will wear you out. And he's right. Prentice Hubb on the road, his numbers are crazy. But I'll tell you this now, this guy, he has no fear, Pack. No fear. Now, but behind Hubb is a kid who probably has not had the year he wanted to have. See, look at Hubb throwing the threes up. But this guy right here, if you have to hit a shot.
Let me emphasize
catch
again.
Catch and shoot guy.
Hold on. Let me just emphasize again. Your life is on the line.
Yep.
NC State's in the tournament.
Braxton Beverly.
And Braxton Beverly's taking a shot for you.
Sure.
Okay.
Guess who the last guy is? You like this list, don't you?
Well, you're going to be stunned at mine.
Okay. I want Buddy Boeheim shooting it too. Because Buddy Boeheim, no conscience at all. And they are clean. I'm telling you, I think this kid's got a huge upside.
No Elijah, you're going to put Boeheim on there, but no Hughes, or do you
have
another one?
No, I want Buddy Boeheim.
Okay.
I want Buddy Boeheim.
Wow, that is I got to tell you, boss man, that is an interesting list. Money time.
Yeah.
March Madness.
Yes, sir.
And you give me Trey Jones, MJ Walker, Braxton Key, Prentice Hubb, Braxton Beverly, and Buddy Boeheim.
Yes, sir.
Your life depends on it.
Yeah.
All right, I'm going to give you my list. I agree with you with Trey Jones. Guy's got experience. We've seen it 100,000 times.
Absolutely.
Anybody doing this exercise at home, if you didn't have Trey Jones on your list, you're either biased, dumb, or don't know what you're doing. Trey Jones should be on this list. Now the end of my list.
The end of, you only got two.
Two.
Okay.
Again, your life depends on it.
Okay.
I'm going Florida State, but I'm not going MJ Walker, even though I understand why you did. I'm going the guy that
Vassell
lit up Louisville in the second half. You know what? Devin Vassell, to me, is calm, cool, collected. His size is a nightmare matchup for the other guard. He doesn't mind taking a big shot. Of course, he can also play the team game, and that's what Florida State does. My list only in this league, and there's a bunch of really good players, of which you listed a number of them.
Mm-hmm.
But if my life depended on it and we're in tournament basketball, that is my list. There are two dudes that I am comfortable with and said, you know what? If Trey Jones or Devin Vassell doesn't make the shot, hey, we went down firing with my two dudes there.
Well,
everybody else in your list, I like every one of them. And I would have added Elijah Hughes too, by the
sure.
way. But we're talking about tournament basketball. This is not beating Cupcake A&M in November.
I got you.
This is March. And guess what? We got 8 seconds with the ball down one, and if we don't make a play, we're going on the couch or hanging out with these idiots in the basement to do Packer and Durham.
Mm-hmm.
My list is two dudes in this league, Trey Jones, Devin Vassell.
844-SAY-ACCN. Now, Louisville, let me just tell you.
I wanted to go there.
Go ahead.
I love their team.
Obviously. I do too.
And they are deep. and they are good enough to get to Atlanta and cut down the nets. They're good enough to win the ACC tournament.
Sure.
I don't trust the backcourt.
That's fair.
And doesn't mean that they can't give you nights like they did against Duke on the road. I just, again, my life now depends on this possession. I just don't know today if I trust Louisville's backcourt.
I understand that.
And Jordan Moore is a tremendous player.
Well, we were doing this list when we started developing this list off the question from the Lumberjacks.
And I didn't know your list.
I know, right. I didn't know who you were picking, obviously. But when we were doing the list, Jordan Moore was kind of in the slump a little bit.
Yeah, right. Right.
This was before the other night.
Right, in the Florida State game.
Right.
And again, he played well in the first half. He just nothing happened in the second half.
Right. And it's not that Louisville doesn't have anybody, because I'll tell you this, Sean Farnham and I in Raleigh, if you tell me his feet are set, Ryan McMahon will make it. But I need to know how the shot's going to go down. Right. What's the situation? Because he can certainly extend the game with distance and margin. But
well, you had Braxton Beverly.
Well, I like see Braxton Beverly. Don't forget now, Braxton Beverly a year ago hit two or three big shots for NC State late in the game. Clemson was the most notable one, but he hit others in other games. So, look, I think Braxton Beverly is the kind of player that you can lean on as the year goes on. I just don't think he's had a great year this year.
I think you could probably go, in terms of quality players, that you'd say, hey, you know what, they're big enough to take a shot. Mm-hmm. I mean, Cole Anthony would take a shot, right?
Right.
I mean, for example.
He's
taking
shots.
Right. And I think you could probably go about 15 dudes deep in the league that are, I mean, Wake Forest. Think Mr. Childress take a shot?
Well, and see, that's a perfect example. That's a good one, too, because up until the other night in the first half, first 38 minutes of that game, you know, his first field goal of the game is the one to get it to overtime.
Missed the first 10, but he did not matter.
Right. So in the perspective of that, how do you want to, you know, where do we qualify Brandon Childress? He certainly would get consideration on this list. By the way, Notre Dame's got two guys.
I think Miami could have a couple dudes on here, too, if you want to get in the mood of guys that will take the shot. But again, keep in mind, this is your life depends on it.
Chris Likes would be on the list.
Because he's going to create something.
He's going to create something, much like Trey Jones. Now, Notre Dame's problem is you've got Prentice Hubb, who I think is a road killer, okay? But T.J. Gibbs is the ACC's best three-point field goal shooter in conference play at like 50%. So, now you talk about Braxton Key as opposed to Kihei Clark as opposed to who? Look, I'm just telling you, Braxton Key is a guy who's a three-level scorer who ends up with the ball in his hand a lot. This is where we agree to disagree.
I'm cringing on that one a little bit.
All right.
You know why? Because if you said to me, hey, Virginia, let's just say I'm going to give you a team. You saw Clark last night step up and do exactly what we're talking about, right?
Right, yeah.
And you talked about Likes, you know, being able to penetrate and create a play. Clark does the same thing for Virginia.
Clark does the same thing, but last night
The 25-footer.
He makes the 25-footer. I've seen Key make it.
I tell you who else can make it. Is Diakite.
Yeah. I'm
not talking about making an 18-footer, but he can beat you inside, too. You don't have to be sitting there looking for a 19-footer for the win. You just need the shot to win the game. Your life depends on it.
And I'm probably going to regret saying this. I'm just not sure he can create the shot off the block.
He doesn't have to.
I agree with Clark. But I think he is. Olivier Sarr, who was on this show yesterday, and Mamadi Diakite might be the two most improved players in this league.
You know, Georgia Tech is a team where you can sit there and say, you know, Alvarado, watch out. Yeah. I think you could go 15 to 20 guys deep in trying to answer this question. But I think to really answer it, though, I think you have to put yourself in a position that, hey, if we don't score, it's over.
Right.
Who is that guy? So you eliminate from 20 down to whatever your comfort zone number. For you, it's 1, 2, 3, 6. Six guys. Yeah. For me, it was 2.
And I struggled with 6 because I was trying to pick guys off teams that I thought would be in scenarios of close games. That's why you get a Syracuse guy and a Notre Dame guy and an NC State guy along with Jones and MJ Walker. So,
how would you answer that question? 844-SAY-ACCN. And you come up with your own list. I mean, it could be as long or as short, as long as Wes's or as short as the deuce that I gave you.
By the way, tomorrow night on this network, bald men on the campus, ladies and gentlemen.
Wait, it's on the campus or on campus?
On campus.
On campus.
They'll be on the campus at the University of Maryland for game day the next morning. Mm-hmm. So, Billis Greenberg Ellis, 9 p.m. tomorrow night. Latest on the ACC. Get you ready for a big weekend.
Is that a Scott Van Pelt appearance?
Tomorrow?
I'm just asking. He's a bald man. Maryland guy. Just saying.
Yeah,
Van Pelt. He knows the ACC.
We're hoping to get Van Pelt on this show at some point.
He's great.
Yeah, he's fantastic.
This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
T-minus 3 hours and 28 minutes.
Can we call Pack's dentist and get him on the phone?
No.
Yeah, I'd like to do that, actually. Well, we've talked about it. I think we'd like to know what kind of the game plan's going to be, how the Novocaine's going to work.
I want razor focus from my dentist today. I don't want shaky fingers. If I shake his hand and I get one of these, I'm like, no, I'm good, man. Look, I'll drink some water. It won't even hurt. I don't want any shakiness.
Wait a second. Macri has a question.
Oh, boy.
Macri has a question.
Don't play that drill bit thing either.
No, we're not going to do that.
Good.
Did you say razor focus?
Razor sharp like focus.
What about laser focus?
You said razor focus.
Razor? Oh God.
Yeah, I don't want the dentist to have razor focus. I'd like him to have laser focus, perhaps.
I just want him. Maybe he'll call in sick. Maybe I'll get a text and goes, "Hey, you know what? Just not feeling good."
I think he's calling in. Pack, we got him on the phone. You want to say hi?
No.
Ask him if his focus is razorish, razor-like.
Seriously. I mean, you're really worked up about this.
I'm not happy about this at all.
This is awesome.
No, yeah, it's great.
What in the world? Come on, it's a cavity. Man. It's okay. You zip in, you zip out.
Oh, don't say zip. Zip's a terrible word.
How about Dabo Sweeney? Let's talk about Dabo.
Let's go. Yeah, let's get my mind off of this nonsense. Dabo always.
Well, one of the things Dabo did yesterday was he drilled down on that one-time transfer thing. No, here we go. Dabo was asked what he did think about the one-time transfer rule proposal yesterday after practice, and what does he think it will mean to college football?
I don't like whatever's been proposed. I don't think that's good. I don't think it's good for the player. I don't think it's good for college football. I do think there need to be some change. I think that some of the rules were archaic and things like that. And, nobody called me and asked me, but if I could go poof, for me, I think that, first of all, there didn't need to be restrictions. Guys should be able to go wherever they want to go. That's an archaic thing, and I believe that. And I also think that if you're a graduate, you should be able to go where you want to go. And that's the case as it is. And I also think another change should be if your head coach leaves or is fired, you should be able to transfer if you want. I believe that. But other than that, I think if you transfer, you sit. Simple as that. And then if you graduate, you get that year back. So you really don't lose anything. But at least it would slow down what's going to happen. What's kind of going on now with the graduates is going to go to the freshmen. You're going to go to the mid-years. You're going to go to the sophomores. And that's not good for college football. And it's not good for the players. That to me, I think we clean it up and cut out some of the hypocrisy of it too. People say, your coach is going to leave and all this and that. Well, if your coach leaves and coach is fired, then you should be able to go. I think that is very fair. Or you're a graduate. But other than that, I think you should have to sit.
Everybody's got an opinion on this one.
I want to get to his second cut too here, because he was asked how that rule will then open up recruiting as well.
There's no question. I mean, it's just not good for college football. It's not going to hurt Clemson. It's not going to hurt Clemson. It's going to hurt a lot of other people. I think that's would be a good way to clean it up. Again, nobody asked me my opinion, so it doesn't really matter what I think. If the objective is, we should just change it and everybody should just be able to go wherever they want to, because the coaches can, Well, then why is it a one-time transfer? Coaches can leave this year, next year, the next year. Why can't you leave every year? You know, I think the intent is really good. I think there needs to be some really good common sense change to address the issue. But I don't like what's on the table right now. Doesn't really matter what I like. So.
All right, we got a lot to unpack there. What do you think?
I think he's right about it's not going to hurt Clemson. It's not going to hurt Alabama. It's not going to hurt Georgia. It's not going to hurt Ohio State. I've said this on – I don't know if it was here. It was on SiriusXM.
Mm-hmm.
But what I'm concerned about with the rule – and I do think there should be some rules and regulations. I mean, there's got to be some structure to it. It can't just be the wild, wild west that, hey, I don't like what West said. I'm out of here. It can't be that easy. What I'm concerned about is – the big boys are going to get their guys, right? And that's where Dabo says, hey, it's not going to hurt us, and he's right. Here's what is a major concern to me. And it's not so much an ACC thing. It's the group of five. Because I think the group of five has really good football. Really good football, right? Mm-hmm. And I think
thought the American was one of the better leagues last year.
And you know what? Just look at the numbers.
Right.
No lie. And the Mountain West Conference had a great year. Ask the Pac-12 how much fun they had playing. There's good football played away from the Power Five. All right. My concern with the rule is the big boys are going to get their guys. They're going to get their guys. And they'll develop and the rest is history. My concern is the group of five that you're going to have really good players,
mm-hmm.
really good players, right, that maybe were overlooked by the power guys in recruiting mm-hmm. that now go to Memphis, Boise State, fill in the blank, all right, Houston, et cetera, et cetera. That develop into really good players, and guess what's going to happen? Man, we missed out big boy on a tight end in our recruiting class or a great wide receiver. Man, our quarterbacks aren't as good as we think of it. Hey, you know what we're going to do? We're going to go get that guy from Houston. Hey, we're going to go get that guy from Boise State. Man, because surely they would much rather play at the big boys than the perceived group of five. I think the group of five and below, this is a real problem. And while everybody's worried about, man, how's it going to affect Alabama's and Clemson's and Ohio State's, it's not.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to get great five-star players and four-star kids and develop a three-star guy into what they do, and that's why they're the elite. My concern, though, is the lesser schools who do run across a gym develop good players, and you know what's going to happen? Bye-bye.
Mm-hmm.
That kid,
absolutely.
That kid is gone.
Yeah, I think-
and people are going to scream and go, this is not fair. Well, you know what? If you like the rule and give the flexibility to the student-athlete to be able to get up and go like a coach does,
mm-hmm.
you've allowed this to happen. And I do think the poaching of the big boys to fill in gaps is absolutely going to happen. And if you're – just put yourself in the position of a 20-year-old that my lifelong dream was to play for USC or Texas – or Georgia, or Clemson, or Florida State.
Right.
And you know what? They didn't give me a look.
Mm-hmm.
And I know I was a good player. So I ended up going to a smaller school, worked my tail off, had great coaches, as good of resources as they could give me, and now I've developed into the player that I always thought I was. And you're now telling me that the Clemsons, Georgias, Alabamas, Florida States, Texas of the world now want my services? I'm gone, man.
Well, it's no different than the kid, I'm going to use KJ Osborne from Buffalo, who did it as a grad, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, now the KJ Osborne from Buffalo becomes something that happens after his freshman or sophomore year.
That's right.
Okay.
And Dabo was kind of talking about that. Hey, you know, the graduates say once you get your degree and you've got eligibility left, you have every right to go anywhere you want, any point in time.
Mm-hmm.
All that makes sense. But you're spot on, though, Wes. The freshmen and sophomores have now the same ability as the guy that's got his degree.
The biggest fear right now in college football is G5 and FCS. Because the big star at FCS will never see the end of his career. If he's really good as a sophomore, really good as a junior, his senior year, he'll be somewhere else.
If his ultimate goal was to play at a blue blood, he will have that opportunity.
Absolutely.
And never have to worry about it.
Okay, two things here before we go to break. One, I keep going back to the conversation we had on this topic with John Swofford, 10 days ago now, mm-hmm. seemingly,
yep.
about the NCAA being a reactive organization. And there's no more truth ever spoken on this show than that right there. Okay? Dabo just used the word archaic. He's right. The rule book is that. It has been that, and that's not changed. There's a fascinating podcast done last week by Stuart Mandel of The Athletic with Thomas Mars. You're familiar with that name, right? Mm-hmm. The attorney who is kind of like the transfer attorney, if you will. And I'm not belittling what he's done because I think he's helped a lot of student-athletes find the way to get the waiver.
Well, he's been great for the student-athletes.
Yes. Thomas Mars said on that podcast with Stuart Mandel that he believes that we are in the early stages of the civil rights movement of student athletes in college athletics. And you know what, Mark? He's exactly right. We keep talking about the power they have. Well, you throw the transfer situation in, you throw name, image, and likeness in, the student athlete is going to have the power in college athletics at the rate we're going right now. A major power.
Well, more so than ever before, for sure. That's why there still has to be, in my opinion, still some rules and regulations. It cannot be just as simple as, oh, man, I'm not going to start. I'm done. I'm out of here.
Right.
It cannot be that easy.
Packer and Durham.
There's crispy. And then there's crispy-er. Try our new and improved Tyson Crispy Chicken Strips. Crispy just got crispy.
A lot of guests today, as normal. Our producers, our directors, everybody behind the scenes does a great job.
They're kicking it.
Loading us up.
Yeah.
We're now joined by the head football coach of your Louisville Cardinals, Scott Satterfield. Good morning, man. How are you?
I'm doing great. How you guys doing?
Man, we're outstanding. Hard to believe you're back in practice already. I mean, do you guys ever stop?
No, we don't ever stop. It was fun to get back out on the field. We started on Monday, and it's just like we just finished our bowl prep. You know, the guys came right out, and, what a difference a year makes. I think, last year at this time when we got started practice, we couldn't even get through warm-ups, I don't think. And, Monday we went through practice, had a great practice, and it was, so much fun to be out there, and the guys know what to expect now, and, it's very exciting for us as coaches.
Well, that would be the one thing, too, that you now have some sort of expectation of them. They have an expectation of you, the process, the systems which you've put in place. So, obviously, the orientation portion of this is over, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's the good part. Starting out last year, we're trying to, put a foundation in of the expectations are, what we want from our guys. They know that now. And so now you're going out and you're just coaching ball. Last year we're trying to coach effort, trying to coach attitude and all that. These guys have great attitudes. They give a lot of effort every single time out on the field. It's such a big difference, and now we're coaching ball. We're coaching X and O's, and we're trying to find the right spots for these guys and trying to get them better, just really fundamentally getting better in spring practice. Not as much X and O stuff, but really just the fundamentals.
So, Coach, how are expectations different for year two for your club?
Well, I mean, for us, I don't really look at that. I mean, we're just trying to get better on a daily basis. And I think, the expectations from the outside looking in are probably going to be a lot higher. Last year coming in, there was zero expectations. I think hopefully we win a game in the ACC. As we come into this year, having finished second in our side last year in our division, there'll be a lot higher expectations for us. You look at what we have coming back. With Cunningham, with Tutu Atwell, Des Fitzpatrick, Hawkins, you got Hassan Hall, a lot of playmakers coming back on the offensive side of the ball. We lose our big left tackle who's in Indianapolis right now going through the combine. Big loss, but then I think defensively we're going to get a lot better just for the second year in our program, defensively. And so there'll be a lot of expectations, but, we have high expectations. We think we're trying to go out and win every game we play. So, but you take it one practice at a time, one day at a time, one game at a time.
All right. Give me the impact of guys that maybe showed up, in January, early enrollees. Every coach always tells me if I can get a guy there in January, one way or the other, that helps us get better in the spring, gives him maybe a better opportunity to contribute. What about for you?
Yeah, we signed 25 in December. 15 guys are here right now, going through our practice. That's the most I've ever been a part of, that come in the midterm like this. And there's so many guys. The one thing that stood out to me was that, is that the guys really didn't stand out, because I think, you know, sometimes when you bring a newcomer into a group, you know, they'll stand out in a negative way. You know, this guy, you know, he doesn't really fit in. Well, these guys fit right in, all of them. I mean, there wasn't one player that we brought in midterm that you would say he doesn't belong here. They all fit in really well. You know, so it's going to be fun to see. I mean, there are newcomers, you know, they're just trying to figure it all out. The college life, you know, first time away from home, you know, all those things, but they fit right in with our guys. You know, the big difference to our team now is I think is just our leadership, you know, from our upperclassmen. And so they took these young guys right in and, you know, just helped them, you know, adjust right away to what we're trying to do. And, that's fun to see as a coach. And, but these guys are going to continue to get better and better. We all know it's really extremely difficult when you first get on campus. So, you know, I'm excited about where we're at right now, and we know we'll get better as the semester goes on.
Coach, I know you got football on the brain. We just played a clip from Dabo Swinney talking about the one-time transfer rule, and Dabo's a little iffy at best with it, waiting for some more information. Just curious if we could pick your brain. What's your take in the early stance of the one-time transfer rule?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not a fan of it. I think, you know, for a lot of reasons, really. And, you know, I think there's going to be a lot of tentacles that will come off of this if this gets passed, which, you know, it's looking like that it's probably going to happen at some point. You know, I think there's too many bad things that can happen. You know, we're in a world now, society where, you know, you think about Little League, you know, Johnny comes out and he doesn't play on this team right here where they'll move Johnny to the other team on the other side of town and see if he can play right here. I don't want that to happen in college football. And I think that's where we're going to end up heading. You know, I think back last year when I took the job at Louisville, and you think about some of the players we had at App State. I mean, we were the third youngest team in the country at App State. Don't you think some of those guys could have came to Louisville and played if we had this one-time transfer rule? You know, so now you're going to hurt the school that I just left from, because those kids would want to come with me, and they're certainly good enough to come play for us here at Louisville. You know, how many of those guys would have wanted to come, and how many of the guys would we have taken? I mean, there's a lot of things that I don't think has been thought about. I do agree with the fact of what we're doing now with the grad transfers. I think if you graduate, you've earned the right to go anywhere, to go play anywhere. And, you know, because you've finished your obligation, you got your degree. I think the one thing that needs to obviously be in the forefront is why you're going to college, you know, is to get your degree. And I think that's the one thing we have to look at and decide is that's going to hurt guys if they transfer and how they're going to get back in their classes. I mean, all those type things as well.
Scott, I said this going to break, and I'm going to lean on your coaching journey here because you have coached it at G5. You have coached it at FCS. You're now coaching in Power 5. Just can you speak to what the implications would be? Let's say if you're coaching an FCS program, if you're coaching a G5. Mark talked about he thinks the G5 kid, you know, the two, three guys that burst through 2 years in G5 would then all of a sudden maybe want to go to Power 5. I'm thinking about, I mean, I went to Elon. I went to an FCS school. I'm thinking about FCS guys that go and have a great freshman, sophomore year, and then all of a sudden they bail on that program. That's the catch-22 in this from some respect.
Oh, absolutely. And that's going to happen. I mean, it's 100% going to happen. I think, you know, some of the guys that we signed at App State, I thought we did a great job of going out and getting the right ones. Maybe they were not a high-profile recruit coming out of high school. You know, one that comes to example is Darrington Evans. Darrington Evans is the running back we had at App State, who's now in Indianapolis at the Combine right now, who probably going to get drafted. When Darrington came to App State, you know, his second year, he went over 1,000 yards. Don't you think, you know, one of these big boys would have come somehow, some way, got in touch with his high school coach, and word got out to him, hey, we want you to come play for us. He's going to think about it, I promise you. I mean, because everybody thinks about playing at the highest level. So, you know, he's one example. We had many examples at App State, I think, that probably could have got poached, you know, by some Power 5 schools. And then FCS, you mentioned it, every year they got some great players at the FCS level, even the Division II level. Those guys come in, these coaches do a great job evaluating, they bring them in, they developed them for a year or two, then all of a sudden now they're going to have an opportunity to go play somewhere else. I don't like the rule. I don't think it's going to be good for college football. I also don't think it's going to be good for the fans. I think about when I was growing up, when the NFL went to free agency, you know, when they went to, you know, you used to, like, I think about the Washington Redskins when they had the Hogs and, you know, John Riggins and all the players they had back then. You know, and now what happens? Now it feels like, I feel like as fans of the NFL, you know, you're fans of players. You know, maybe not as much as one of the franchises. I think, you know, you're fans of players because these players are starting to move around. I don't want that for college football. I love college football. I love college athletics. I don't know what it's going to do. I think there's a lot of tentacles that we have no idea what's going to happen with this if it you know, ends up happening.
By the way, we know you love college sports. What's going on, Chris Mack and the boys? You got to get Florida State off the schedule, number one, right?
Yeah, Florida State's been a pretty tough team, but very athletic team. But I love our team. I think we do have a lot of depth. You know, we're figuring out some stuff at the guard play, but I think we do have a lot of great players. You know, I think, and obviously when we're hitting on all cylinders, we're one of the best teams in the country, you know, and you got to hope that come ACC, you know, time, when we're getting ready to get in the tournament, that our guys will start hitting on all cylinders, and you carry that on into the March Madness and hopefully make a great run.
Hey, I'm going to ask you a crazy question, and Chris Mack's going to kill me for asking you this. Who on the basketball team would be a good fit for your football team?
Oh, man. there's several guys that are athletic that can run and move. I mean, I like our freshman, David Johnson, who's a big guard, a slasher, who I know could probably come out and catch the ball. Put him out on the perimeter. We get in the red zone. We throw it up. He'll go get it. You know, he's about 6'5", and he's very athletic. Yeah, Chris Mack don't want to hear any of that.
He's going to roll your house again.
I've got to get his first. I got to get payback first. You know, he can't come roll mine again.
I got to be honest with you. I thought you had a great chance after the Duke win to really go get that done.
Yeah.
And I got to be honest, I even told my man E. Wood, I was a little disappointed you didn't get that done after the Duke game. I thought that was a prime Satterfield move. I mean, given, you know, you grew up in Hillsboro, born in Durham, you know, all that, I thought that was a really good op for you.
That would have been a great time. I'm really just trying to wait for the big moment, though. I mean, I want to win the ACC. So that's kind of what I'm waiting for.
I like it.
All right. Well, look, if you come to Greensboro, let us know because we would like your basketball analysis. By the way, how can you not? I mean, those kids will understand. You just postpone practice and race on down to Greensboro and watch a game or two. You know you want to be at that event.
Oh, I would love to be, and I do have a little bit of power with this football program, so I might could push practice around a little bit. But, yeah, we'll see how it goes. I may find my way in Greensboro. I'll certainly look you guys up.
I have even a better idea. How about we see you in Atlanta?
Oh, yeah, there you go.
That would be even better, absolutely. Yeah. And that's what we're shooting for sure.
All right. Hey, thanks again. Always great to visit with you, and good luck the rest of the spring. We'll see you soon.
Yeah, great to see you guys. Take care.
All right. Scott Satterfield, head football coach at Louisville. Always a great visit with us. When we come back.
And by the way, they open with NC State.
Thursday night. Yes, sir.
And then their next game at Clemson. It'll be a very interesting get out of the gate for Louisville.
Fast start.
They're going to be a fun team to watch.
I know that.
The Packer and Durham Podcast.